I think what might be a game changer there is really the emergence of KRAS G12C, which we know now we've seen very promising data. KRAS G12C present in 10 to 12% of patients with lung cancer. That's going to be a huge population. And I think that will really increase testing for everything else because now, you know, that's an eighth, ninth biomarker where we have emerging drugs. So I think that will actually help across the board molecular testing.
Yeah, Matt, when I actually saw the numbers in this survey of how many people with KRAS mutations with, what is it, 12C, there were a lot of patients. Can you talk just briefly, Matt, about what we know about targeted therapy in these patients? Right now, if you could access any of these newer agents, I know there's one in particular, would you use it first line?
We've known about KRAS the longest of any of these molecular alterations, right? And it's been a bugaboo that we have had really difficulty drugging that target, as prevalent as it is. But really, some nifty organic chemistry, we finally can, at least with the G12C as kind of a first pass, and hopefully emergence of the other KRAS variants will be able to drug those targets as well. You know, the early data for the compounds that Justin mentioned are very encouraging, very strong response rates. And obviously, it's early, so we don't quite know the durability and whether we might have to combine them with other agents to maximize that durability. But I do think that certainly at a second line and beyond, no question that I would put a patient on trial or one of these drugs is approved, I would offer it. And there are first line trials just starting to accrue that I do have equipoise to put patients on. So I think this is really an emerging area that, to Justin's point, really makes the case even stronger for that upfront NGS because there are enough targets that it's cost effective and important to do. The other kind of quick sub point I would make to both Heather and Justin's point is I really appreciated Medicare's decision to cover NGS testing for stage four patients without a histologic kind of prompt. And so I think there's an opportunity here, even if there aren't a tremendous number of actionable mutations found in squamous cell carcinoma, to push the field forward, find them, drug them eventually, and proceed from there.
So Jeff, I'm kind of curious whether you've seen any patients that you really just had pure squamous cell cancer that had any targetable mutations that responded to targeted therapy. And is there a future for targeted therapy, Jeff, in squamous cell?
The wild card that I have seen that hasn't been mentioned is the MET exon 14 splice site mutations. So these are a weird breed of mutations. They're seen in more complicated histologies. They are seen in squames as well as in non-squames, in sarcomatoid carcinomas and poorly differentiated carcinomas. They're seen in older patients. They're seen in smokers and in non-smokers. And so now that I'm sending more NGS, I'm stumbling upon these MET mutations, sometimes in not the classic patients I think about for driver oncogenes. Right now, there's not an on-label drug for this, but there is compelling data from some of the next generation MET inhibitors, capmatinib, tepotinib, and we can use crizotinib off-label for these patients. And so that is one that I've seen in a real squame, and I've seen responses. They can be aggressive, responses can be brief, but it really does increase my belief in NGS for all of non-small cell lung cancer.
I just had one point is for squames, I do think it's important to actually look at the immunohistochemistry on it too. Many times where patients are coming to me referred to as squamous cell carcinoma, and it's on the basis of a P63 stain, which isn't necessarily specific for squame. And so when our pathologists review it and they look at it and they say, no, it's just a poorly differentiated adenocarcinoma or a poorly differentiated non-small cell lung cancer. And so looking at the immunohistochemistry as well, to truly see whether it's a squamous cell cancer.
Well, that's really interesting and also a little scary. Matt?
And one last kind of addition to this is even NCCN qualifies that scant samples are often worthy of pursuing more testing, even if you have to go for rebiopsy or for liquid biopsy, because there are kind of, you know, more aggressive adenocarcinomas that kind of morph into adenosquame or adeno with squame features. And with limited sampling, you might actually have the piece of tissue that looks squame when the fundamental biology really is more just an aggressive adenocarcinoma. So yet another reason to just be more broad in our application of the NGS.